Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Next, From the Top alumni talk about where music has taken them since appearing on our show.
This summer, I'm working on a project to develop this installation that's going to culminate in Paris. The installation is about biorhythms and music and dance. Although I've ended up at a completely different place than when I first expected, this new adventure in music has been cool and fun and just exciting and unexpected.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from the El Paso Summer Music Festival in El Paso, Texas, our lineup of outstanding performers includes a teenage clarinetist from Maryland playing Malcolm Arnold, the Young Ladies Choir from here in El Paso singing the music of American composer Ken Berg, and a 17-year-old cellist from Atlanta who overcame a major illness to win one of the most prestigious music competitions in the country. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Really great being with you today. Welcome. And a very, very special thanks to our good friends at the El Paso Summer Music Festival for bringing us here to perform in one of El Paso's old and great downtown landmarks, this great old vaudeville house, the Plaza Theater. So great to be here. And we like to think we've brought the festival a show that is a landmark for From the Top. We're going to hear four teenage soloists and one outstanding choir. And as Joanne mentioned, we're also going to hear the voices of some From the Top alums, and we're going to find out about their musical lives since being on our show. But something ties all these great young performers together. And that something is that all the musicians you'll hear today, including one member of the Young Ladies Choir from here in El Paso, are Jack Kent Cook young artists. Today, we're celebrating our amazing partnership with the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. And as of this show, that partnership has resulted in giving over $1 million to young classical musicians with financial need. I feel like Joanne, I mean, as our own sort of Vanna White type character, you should be holding one of those big 4-foot-long fake checks with the words $1 million on it. Oh, go ahead, Joanne. Cough it up. There it is. It looks nothing like my signature, huh? But it is true, thanks to the generosity of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, we've now given normal-sized and very cashable checks for $10,000 each to over 100 deserving young classical musicians. Let's meet one of those newest recipients of the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award right now. From Westfield, Indiana, please welcome 16-year-old pianist Jingxuan Zhang. Jing, may I call you Jing?
Yeah.
Everybody calls him Jing. You can call him Jing. Jing, you've brought a wonderful piano arrangement of music from one of everybody's favorite operas. Tell us what we're going to hear.
I'm going to play an arrangement of a tune from the opera Carmen by Bizet, and it's transcribed by Moritz Moskowski.
Great piece. Looking forward to it. Take it from the top when you're ready. Jinxuan Zhang, 16-year-old pianist from Westfield, Indiana. Brilliantly played, Jing.
Thank you.
It's just a phenomenal piece. It's one of the pieces that Horowitz made famous, Seguidilla from Carmen, and just brilliantly done. Jing, I want to ask you about your teachers, because you've been taught by teachers of completely different approaches. You grew up north of Beijing, yes?
Yes.
And what was your first teacher like there?
Well, my first teacher was extremely strict, and I used to dread having lessons with her because she used to make me play whole notes on the scale. So my usual practicing was sounds like this: C, D, E.
Just like, one note at a time.
Yes, and she just makes me do these exercises that strengthens my hand, and she'd...
Did you have to have like an apple under your hand, as it were?
Yeah.
The apple?
Imaginary apples.
Imaginary apple, and, yeah. and then fingers raised very high.
Exactly, for strength.
Like Lipizzaner stallions. I did the same thing. I had the same kind of teaching.
Exactly.
But so you enjoyed that?
Yes, I loved it very much.
You lie. Did not like it. Who's your teacher now? Where are you studying?
My teacher is a professor at Jacobs School of Music. His name is Arnaldo Cohen.
Not just a professor at IU, Indiana University, but a great pianist in his own
yes,
right. I've heard him play
often. He tours very often, and he's just a phenomenal teacher. He's from Brazil, and he has a wonderful sense of humor, and he's just able to communicate what he wants to get out of the music to you in that really imagery way to let you see what he wants. And I think he is a great teacher.
Well, he's a wonderful teacher, but he also believes in you. You have this innate talent and also enthusiasm, and also you're very, very disciplined, and you have fingers like Lipizzaner Stallion, so this is a good thing. So, Jing, after all that hard work, if anyone deserves a new piano, it's you. Is that a story we can tell?
Yeah. Well, it goes way back to last year, October, when I auditioned for From the Top. And I never heard anything again from them. Just, I thought, I didn't make it. I was like, oh.
Crestfallen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, you know, come January, I got a phone call from the staff of From the Top. And they informed me that I was chosen to be in one of the shows. And I was like, great.
Yes.
And they followed up on that by saying, we got you a special surprise. And I was like, whoa, a surprise. So I was so excited, and I couldn't wait to find out what it was. And I was completely in the dark until Dr. Daigle, who lives in Lafayette, about 2 hours north of where I live, called me and to set up an appointment to give me this extra gift.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, Saturday, we exchanged pleasantries there, like, hello, my name is, etc. And then by the end of it, he said, okay, enough with the suspense, and then he just whipped out this manila folder from out of nowhere, like magic. And then he handed one to me, my parents, and my professor, who was also there. Mm-hmm. And I opened it up, and it said, you got a new Steinway piano.
Wow.
And I was just, you know, I just can't believe my eyes. You know, I read the paper like 5 times. Mm-hmm. Thought he was lying for 4. So, I mean, just so thankful. And yeah. He just touched my heart with that act of kindness.
This was something that Mr. Daigle had wanted to do for a while. And being also from Indiana, as you are, and you just seemed like the perfect candidate for this. So after he gave you this wonderful piano, you figured, okay, I guess I can order the crab cakes for lunch. This is good. It's just such a great thing to have you on the show and to help you get this piano, and your wonderful work with Dr. Cohen is obviously paying off, and we look forward to hearing great things from you.
Thank you.
Time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Jingxuan Zhang. Jingxuan Zhang, 16-year-old pianist from Westfield, Indiana.
Go to our website to listen to episodes on demand, watch exclusive videos, and learn more about how we're celebrating our 10th anniversary season. That's fromthetop.org. Today's show is in celebration of the support of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org.
Hi, I'm Karen Cueva. I won the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship this past fall, and when I was on the show, I got to play William Bolcom's Graceful Ghost Drag. I come from an incredibly supportive family where my mom and grandmother have really stood by me for the past 13 years of my violin playing. It's also necessary to sometimes have some financial support apart from that, because I come from a single parent home where, you know, all three of us work incredibly hard to make do. And I really felt that the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship was, well, you know, having $10,000 is, you know, a really great thing. I mean, I don't really know many people who'd complain about that. But there's such a deeper level that really impacts the artist on kind of a spiritual level. The affirmation that I was really on the right path and that I really needed to do music, I think it's just an incredibly special thing for especially a teenager to have. And now, another musician who's lucky enough to receive the Jack Kent Cook Scholarship, 17-year-old cellist from Atlanta, Georgia, Kari Joyner.
Kari, welcome, and welcome also to the honored ranks of the Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Tell everyone what you and I will be performing together.
We're going to play the Papiana No. 2, Rhapsody for Cello and Piano by Alberto Ginastera.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Kari Joyner, 17-year-old cellist playing Atlanta, Georgia. Kari, that's such a great workout, that piece.
Oh, thank you.
First of all, Kari, K-H-A-R-I. What does the name mean? Where does it come from?
My name is actually African for king. It's an African dialect. Not quite sure the name of it, but it was a name that my parents decided would be a good name for me.
Gosh, you really rule over this piece, I will say.
Thank you.
A regal performance by Kari. So yeah, you meet the challenges nicely on all fronts. And speaking of challenges, this year has been an unbelievable one for you in terms of personal challenges and victories.
Yes. Last March, I was actually, it started probably last January, but I was having just a lot of pain in my arm, and I thought maybe it was cello-related because a lot of times cellists tend to have back problems, mm-hmm. and we tend to get upper arm pain in the right arm with our bow arm. But it was sort of lasting for a really long time. So once I eventually went to the hospital to figure out what it was, I eventually was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
And didn't really hit me at first because I had, at the time, I was just on so much medication just for the pain that I really wasn't that coherent, and I wasn't really that much able to sort of kind of think, you know, and sort of cogitate on what had happened. But eventually, once sort of things started settling over, like maybe the next couple of days, I started kind of realizing what it was. And so that was sort of it sort of hit me, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, luckily, encouraging in the way that, I mean, at your age, mm-hmm. The cure rate for this Hodgkin's...
It's about 80%, yeah.
About 80%. So what happened? I mean, so were you able to finish school?
Actually, I was able to still finish school, but I couldn't be in the same setting as my classmates at school. I had to have what they call a homebound situation, which is basically when you can get instruction
because your immune system at this point
right,
is
it's suppressed
vastly
and,
depleted.
And you can't necessarily be in the same environment, especially in a school environment, because you have other germs and other things that are in the environment that you can't be around. And so I think that's sort of how once I got the instruction from the homebound teacher, I was able to finish school. And actually, I was off of my instrument for quite a bit of time, too, because just from initially just having the diagnosis and then just sort of recovering and taking the medication, I had to take maybe about a month off. And once I started back, it was a little bit shaky at first. You know, I sort of kind of felt like I was having to just, it wasn't like I had to completely learn it over because I still had quite a bit of muscle memory. Mm-hmm. But I was actually still at the time the principal cellist in the youth orchestra in Atlanta. So I had to make sure that I was still going to be able to play in some of the concerts. And although I didn't play in all the concerts, the concerts that we had that last season, I was able to actually play a little bit in the final concert, which was great. And,
was that frustrating? I mean, because you had a certain amount of energy, mm-hmm. but not, I mean, what did that feel like?
Well, when I was actually playing in the concert, it actually sort of felt just a lot better just because I was actually doing something that I was sort of getting back to normalcy.
And being with friends.
Right,
and
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's how... I think that probably made me actually probably the most excited just to do that and just to be back and see everybody and playing because everybody was so supportive. Mm-hmm. So really appreciative of that.
And then also in your musical life during this period, something really wonderful happened. Prestigious competition. Tell us about that.
The Sphinx competition held in Detroit, Michigan, a competition for young African-American and Latino string players held in Detroit. I was actually the junior division first place winner, laureate, of that competition. And that was very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
And that was very exciting for me because I think just at the time when I was actually on stage and they were giving the honors and the awards out, it didn't really hit me or didn't sink in at that moment that I had won the competition. But shortly after, I felt it. But
it's a great organization. It's been doing some great things for many years. And my gosh, you're the latest and greatest proponent. Congratulations on the competition
and all
of your great successes and your health.
Thank you.
And a great pleasure playing with you, Kari.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Kari Joyner, 17-year-old cellist from Atlanta, Georgia.
Over 3 years ago, I performed it from the top. I played Bach's G minor presto. I received a Jack Kent Cook scholarship, and my name is Yue. I started out thinking I was going to become a classical musician, an orchestral percussionist to be exact. So I started at Harvard doing a double degree program with the New England Conservatory. But recently, I've just gotten into a completely experimental mode with music. I got into this thing called art science. Art science is basically the idea that traditional boundaries between various disciplines don't really exist. This summer, I'm working on a project to develop this installation that's going to culminate in Paris. The installation is about biorhythms and music and dance. Basically, we're going to take real-time live data from people's bodies, like their heart rates, like their gait, and work with electronic musicians, composers, engineers, programmers, cardiologists, and translate that into musical and dance form so that people can experience science and art in a new way. Although I've ended up at a completely different place than when I first expected, this new adventure in music has been cool and fun and just exciting and unexpected, and I hope that the next performer will have an equally exciting and fun journey. Please welcome, from North San Juan, California, 15-year-old harpist Sage Poe.
Welcome, Sage. Your musical and your life journey has already been exciting and unexpected, and it's been a journey that you've taken largely without shoes.
Yes, indeed.
Glad to see you're barefoot on stage. But even in the snow?
Yes, too? Of course.
Oh my God, you're such a wimp. I can't believe that. Are you telling me that you're a teenage girl who doesn't have, like, 80 pair of shoes in your closet?
No, not really.
Just not into it. Okay, there's a bit of irony in your distaste for putting something on your feet. You're barefoot pretty much all the time, except when?
When I play the harp.
Right. How come you need shoes for the harp?
Well, there are pedals on a harp, and in order to move them properly, you need something to kind of seat your heel on the ground to have the correct leverage. So I have to wear heels in order to play.
That's fine. So we've got some shoes for you over here, I guess. Well, we're going to talk about your barefoot lifestyle in a moment, but now we'll put on your Milano Blahnik pumps and get ready to play while I give you an official introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sage Poe, another one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists we're featuring today, performing two movements of Lynn Palmer's classical suite for harp. We're going to hear the Sarabande and the Courante. Thank you.
Sage Poe, 15-year-old harpist from Camptonville, California, playing Lynn Palmer's classical suite for harp. I love that piece.
Thank you.
So beautifully played.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, we joked a little bit about going barefoot and even in the snow, but that's just a small sign of the unusual way you've grown up. First of all, describe to everyone where you live.
Well, I live on 50 acres in the forest, and there are different structures. I live in a cabin, and my dad lives in a yurt. My mom lives in another cabin. Our kitchen is in a trailer. We have solar power and are completely off the grid.
Wow. My God, you're living in a hippie commune. And so you've always loved it? You know, life without Zac Efron is okay as a teenager?
It's fine.
Really fantastic. now it's just you and your parents living together. What happened? There were a bunch of people in the commune. I mean, how many kids were you growing up with?
There were a lot of different people coming through for my whole childhood, basically. And just a couple years ago, we had 15 people, six other kids, and for like 2 years, we all lived together. We shared dinners. We had weekly meetings. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Recently, there's only been three of us living here. I mean, me and my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically because after there were 15 people living there, two couples broke up, and they didn't really want to live together anymore. So they left, and now it's just the three of us.
And this is all evolving around you as you're growing up, and as you say, you've got a voice in how the place is run. And
yeah.
That's an amazing way of living. And it's not isolating? I mean, what do you do for school? Are you going to school?
Well, I'm homeschooled, but I'm homeschooled with a charter school. So I get to go two times a week to classes in drama and art and math and science and whatever I want to take, basically. See a bunch of other kids, be in Grass Valley. There's a Center for the Arts. There's Music in the Mountains, which is a nonprofit organization which does music education and has a symphony and a competition and stuff. So I don't feel isolated at all.
No, not at all. But I'm wondering, when you become an adult, are you going to act out and rebel and, become a soccer mom? Or, what's going to happen? Do you find yourself wanting to live in the big city, or do you like living in the country?
I'd like to try out the big city, but I think I'm always going to be a country girl. And
yeah.
I'd like to live in community again someday, too.
It's obviously working out beautifully, and you have such a sunny disposition, and I can only imagine, the harp resounding over these 50 acres and all the woodland creatures listening to you. It's really a great scene, Sage, and thank you for bringing it to us, and great to hear you play.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Thanks. Sage Poe, 15-year-old harpist from Camptonville, California.
Right now on our website, a video about the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award narrated by some of its 100 recipients. You'll see the kids on today's show talking about their hopes for the future and the enormous impact the award has had on their lives. Go to fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org. From the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. From the Gruber Family Foundation, to extend the breadth and depth of NPR's international coverage. And from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary year, this week from the El Paso Summer Music Festival in El Paso, Texas. Coming up, the Young Ladies Choir from the El Paso Choral Society. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show is made possible with the support of the El Paso Museums and Cultural Affairs Department, the Texas Commission of the Arts, and the El Paso Community Foundation. Special thanks to KTEP 88.5 FM and the University of Texas at El Paso Department of Music.
Hi, my name is Sean Moore. 3 years ago, I received the Cook Scholarship. Being on the show was an incredible opportunity, not only because I got to play 5 minutes from my house in Elgin, Illinois, but also because I got to play Ludislavski's Subito with Chris O'Reilly. Another especially rewarding aspect of that performance was that I got to do it on a brand new fiddle that the Jack Kent Cook Foundation paid for with the grant that I received. When I first ran into this red violin, the Becker violin, it hadn't been played for over 20 years, 30 years, because it had languished in the basement of the man who had commissioned it. And although the quality was there and I connected with the instrument right away, it took a little while to be sure. So we were still agonized another week or so, trying with other fiddles, until finally realizing that this was the violin for me. And once we made the decision to buy that violin, the impact on like my playing and where I could take the sound was just enormous. I've technique-wise made everything easier, and I mean, I was used to playing on a cheap fiddle that, you know, you had to work really, really hard to get anything nice to come out of. And then all of a sudden, this violin came along that made those old, difficult things easy and presented new possibilities. I know that the next performer coming on the show will also be using the Jack Kent Cook grant to purchase a new instrument. I really hope he will find it just as rewarding as I have. Please welcome from Arnold, Maryland, 17-year-old clarinetist Matthew Dykeman.
Matt, congratulations on your own Jack Kent Cook Scholarship.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Why don't you tell everybody what you and I are going to play together?
Okay. We'll be playing the third movement of the Malcolm Arnold Sonatina for clarinet and piano titled Furioso.
Thank you. Matthew Dykeman, 17-year-old clarinetist from Arnold, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore. Love that piece.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It's just like a bat out of hell. And you really, it's just something just so beautifully played. Matt, parents are a part of the equation in a lot of young musicians' lives, but your mom has really been a driving force behind your music. I mean, she is a musician herself, yes?
Absolutely, tell us about her. She teaches voice and piano, and she is absolutely a driving factor behind me being a musician and being here today. She got me started originally on piano. She taught me piano, and then she asked me to try out another instrument. I like clarinet because of the tone. And I don't think she expected piano to be replaced by clarinet, but that's how it ended up turning out.
But she gave you the opportunity.
She didn't
and make you stick to it. Yeah. She gave you the chance. And,
absolutely.
But she really enlightened you this year. I mean, this has been a big year for you. You're doing all of your college auditions and things. So what words of wisdom did she have for you?
Well, I'm from an art school, just graduated, and I was feeling pretty confident about my ability and my ability to play the clarinet, and, you know, I was excited and ready to go. But my mom was like, you know, you're really good here, you're really good in Maryland, but there are 49 other states where there could be other clarinets that are much better. And so, so you know, I took that with a grain of salt, and I was just like, you know, yeah, you know, whatever, you know. I was confident about going out there and playing and, you know, sweeping them off their feet. She was right.
Really? So this played out in your... Well, you auditioned at Juilliard. What was that experience like?
Well, Juilliard was... That was the first audition that I took for college, and I was feeling really good going into it, and I go in there, and I'm waiting to go in, and I hear these clarinets that are going to audition, and I'm like, man, these guys are really good. And I'm, you know, a little freaked out, but I try to keep my cool. And I go into the audition room, and I face three, like, people that I have heard in CDs and read biographies of. And I go up there, and I'm standing, like, this far away from them, and they're just like, all right, play this piece. I'm just like, oh.
Really? So was the audition a pleasant experience, a not pleasant experience? Did you rally to the occasion, or did you crash and burn? What was it like?
Well, I view every experience as a positive learning experience. Wherever it might seem bad at the time, but as far as it did, I didn't get into Juilliard. But, eventually I figured out that it wasn't exactly right for me. The college audition experience was an enlightening experience, yeah. Whether it was a positive enlightening experience.
But you know, your mom's advice was right. You know, she cautioned you about the big bad world of clarinet players.
Absolutely.
Out there. But did she at the end did she say, "Oh, I told you so"?
Well, she said many things, but the one thing she did not say was, "I told you so."
Well, that's very good. Even with a musical background, she lets you learn this lesson on your own. Joanne, I'm sorry, I've heard enough. Haven't you?
I sure have, Chris.
I think Matt's mom totally deserves to be our Mother of the Year.
Wendy Dykeman is the proud mother of four children, all musicians. There's an alternative rock and bluegrass playing son, a trombonist dancer daughter, an electric guitar playing son, and then little Matt. Wendy has a master's in vocal performance and continues to teach voice and piano in addition to working full-time. She also teaches Sunday school, loves to read and cook, and is a huge fan of Navy football. She's a great mom, but the real reason she's getting this award is that she never, ever said, "I told you so."
Matt's mom is up on stage with us now. Wendy, are you completely honored and abashed?
Overwhelmed.
Just overwhelmed. Your advice to Matt as a fellow musician was really excellent, but I've got to ask you, how did you keep your mouth shut after those college auditions? I mean, other parents need to know how to deal with this situation.
Well, my oldest son is 33, and after 33 years of mothering, I have learned to keep my mouth shut at certain times.
Well, congratulations on your incredible award. And Matt, she doesn't get the $10,000, you know. Just... Oh, darn.
Rats.
And Matt, we need to point out that you really did well on your college auditions, much better than you may have thought at the time. Tell everybody where you're going to be going next year.
In the fall, I'll be attending Cincinnati Conservatory of Music.
It's a great school. Congratulations. great place to go to school, and things are obviously going fabulously well for you, and best of luck. And Matt, by all means, listen to your mother, especially when she has her mouth shut. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
Matthew Dyckman, 17-year-old clarinetist from Arnold, Maryland, and his mother of the year, Wendy.
Podcasts of From the Top are available at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. And we still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
My name is Travis Johnson, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. I won a Jack Kent Cook scholarship a couple years ago, and I got to play one of my favorite pieces, Boppin' by Brian Johansen. Getting a Cook scholarship was amazing for me because I've got to meet so many people, and I've got to have master classes with guitarists that I've only been able to listen to from a CD player. The first thing that comes to mind is my master class with Oscar Gilia. And during my master class, I was playing a piece by Ponce called In the Sonatina Meridionale. And the way Oscar Gilia explained it to me was this guy, and he sees this girl, and he's like, wow, that's a cool girl. And then he goes, what's your name? And in the music, Janet, which is this girl, he goes, Janet. And then this guy goes again, what's your name? And then the girl goes, Janet. And then right after this introduction, he said, there's this big explosion of love and passion and desire. It was probably one of the better experiences that I've ever had with guitar. The next day, I saw Gilia around the festival, and I went up to him and I said, thank you for the masterclass. It was amazing. And he said, did you find Janet? And I said, not yet, but I'm still looking for her. And now I'd like to introduce, right from El Paso, the Young Ladies Chorale of the El Paso Choral Society.
Before we hear this wonderful choir sing, let's talk for a few minutes with two of its members. We have on stage Amanda Ronquillo, 15 years old, and Natanya Washer, 17 years old. Natanya is our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist in the Choir. Congratulations, Natanya.
Thank you.
Natanya and Amanda, we have actually two founding members of this choir. How is that possible? What does that mean? Natanya, how long have you been with the choir?
This is the seventh year I've been with the choir. And actually, my two older sisters and I, Davida and Rebecca, we were actually the first three to be admitted into the choir, which meant that we had to go around El Paso and advertise for them so that more people would audition for the choir. And through all this advertisement, we found our signature song, which was Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Great song.
Yeah. Awesome. And so I was actually asked last year during the summer to sing that song with the El Paso Symphony, and I was the first youth to be asked to sing with them at Music Under the Stars. So it was a really big deal.
That's great. Wonderful opportunity, and also you and your sisters being such great ambassadors for this wonderful choir.
Yeah.
Amanda, beyond choir, you've got a whole other singing thing going on. Tell us about that.
I actually do mariachi.
Oh, yay, my favorite. So you're singing professionally for a few years now already, yes? You're only 15, and you've been, do you have a group that you sing with regularly? Or?
Yes, Luz de Luna.
Uh huh.
And I can't speak Spanish, so I try.
Well, I know your dad is very, very proud of you, and and the dads of all the Young Ladies Choir are proud, but your dad has a little bit of a pride problem when it comes to your mariachi singing. I mean, sometimes when you're out to dinner, what happens?
Oh, God. he likes to embarrass me all the time. He usually says to people that he's going to the restroom, but really he's going to go talk to the manager.
Why?
I guess he just likes for me to sing at different places.
So he goes to talk to the maitre d' and you know, the manager or whatever?
Yes, that's actually how I got into a mariachi group.
Singing in a restaurant.
Yes. They came up after I sing.
He's probably hoping that I'll ask you to sing some mariachi right now. You wouldn't mind, would you? Would you please do it?
Okay.
Deja que salga la luna, deja que se mate el sol, deja que caiga la noche, pa' que empiece nuestro amor.
Is that okay?
I was your dad, I would embarrass you 24/7 with that voice. It's so beautiful, so beautiful. And now here is your director, Yvonne Marmolejo, who has come up to the mic to introduce the piece you're all going to sing. So why don't you two join the choir, and we'll let you let your director, Yvonne, have a few words. Nice speaking with you, and congratulations again, and thank you. Yvonne, welcome. How many singers do we have performing today, and what are their ages?
The ages of the girls in my choir, there are 20 of them. They are 13 to 18 years old.
And what will El Paso's finest be singing to end our show?
They will be singing Cantate Domino, Sing Unto God, by Ken Berg.
And we should also add that your accompanist today is Dr. Ezequiel Mesa. But before you guys kick in, I want to thank all of our great young Jack Kent Cook performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Young Ladies Choir, you can take it from the top.
Is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Binieri with Caroline Cardias-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks this week to All Classical Public Media in Portland, Oregon. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. And from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.